And as they're heading off to Sunday school, you can open your Bibles to the Gospel, well, not the Gospel of Acts, but the Book of Acts this morning, the Book of Acts. And it is great to be back. It's great to see you. We had a great family trip out east, and we praise God for safe travels and wonderful family time, and just glad I'm not hearing, are we there yet anymore? Still kind of going through the road trip hangover, if you know what that means. But anyways, it's great to be back in town and settling in and getting ready. Well, I don't say this S word too often these days, but back to school is really happening. For some parents, that's pretty exciting. For the kids, it's not. But it's hard to believe it's already at that time. But we're excited for them to get back to school and for that season to begin. And as we just carry on this morning, how wonderful to be together again here at church. And I want to extend a welcome to those visiting with us. And either whether you're passing through or you're here for a little bit, we're just delighted that you're here to join us in this time of worship. And what a time of worship it's been already, as we've just been reminded several times of how important it is to just be open to the power of God in this place, and to know that he knows your needs and he knows your brokenness, and he is here to just, of course, as you are open to him and surrender to his Spirit, just working in your life to help you overcome those struggles. But that's why we're here. That's why we meet every week, so that we can together walk alongside each other and encourage each other and pray for each other. And in God's word, just as we're going to enter it right now, just be blessed by the ministry of his holy and wonderful word. So our passage in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 43. Let me read it for you. You can follow along in your Bibles or the screen behind me. Let us hear the word of the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen indeed. Let's take this moment to pray. Shall you join me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that says, "Be still. Be still. And know that I am God." Lord, we are just so thankful for your presence. Thank you for bringing us here into this gathering this morning to worship you, to turn our eyes once again upon Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit at work in our lives. And as we sang earlier and as we pray now, Lord, fill us with a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. Fall fresh on us, Lord. Because we need you, Lord. Our greatest need every day is of you, Lord, just to heal us and to restore us and to help us through our struggles. But Lord, we give you praise, Lord, for the good plans that you have for our lives, even today. And as we just surrender now to your transforming presence, God, we just cry out to you, Lord. Would you just bless those in front of us, those sitting behind us and those beside us, Lord, would you just touch their lives and restore them and bring healing and wholeness to them, Lord, wherever they need it, Lord. We just want to pray, God, that you would just help them in their needs. Thank you again, Lord, for this word that we are about to enter, and we pray that our ears would be open and our hearts open to what you want to teach us this morning through this passage, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So over 30 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus, praise the Lord. I'll never forget that day, and ever since then, been trying to just keep up, keep growing in my faith, if I could put it that way, because we're never really there until we're there. Now, following Jesus as a kid, one of the songs I loved as a kid in church was, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And one more time, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. You know that song? Maybe some of you do, maybe some of you don't. It's a simple song. It's a wonderful little chorus. And back then, to me as a kid, to follow meant something quite literal. And I understood it as walking behind Jesus, belonging to that gang of Christians. And to me, that's really how that song ministered to me. And since then, it's a great song that we sing at times. Even after somebody is baptized, it's a great song to sing. To recognize when somebody makes that decision in their life by the grace of God at work in their life, that they are wanting to be known as a follower of Christ, wherever they are, no matter what time of the day. Did you know in the New Testament, 21 times, in 12 different conversations, Jesus said the words, follow me. Follow me. Here's just a few verses that I'll put up before you. Just four of a few times that Jesus said these words. In Matthew 4, verse 19, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Or in Luke 9, verse 59, to another, Jesus said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead, Jesus says. Or in Mark 2, verse 14, after this he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at a tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. How about one more time? Mark 8, verse 34, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now when Jesus uttered those two words, remember, he didn't say, follow a gathering. He didn't say, follow a denomination. He didn't say, follow a program, follow a political party. He didn't say, follow the Maple Leafs. He didn't say, follow your family. He didn't say any of that. He said, follow me. Why is it that we lose sight of that? We end up following everything but Jesus sometimes in our lives. And so let's start with those words that Jesus says, follow me, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And perhaps you have personally heard those words, and if you have, and if you have obeyed those words of the Lord, praise God. Don't stop. Keep going. Be bold and follow him. When Jesus said, follow me, it's far more than a simple invitation to walk behind him in his footsteps. It really is. It's more than a Bible study or a worship service. It means transformation. That's what Jesus meant when he said those words. Following Jesus means to align our lives with his teaching, his example. How easy we can compare ourselves to others, but remember, compare yourself to Jesus first and foremost. And so to align our lives with Jesus, to embrace his values and, well, his teaching, his word, his lifestyle as our own. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. It signifies a willingness to leave behind old ways and habits, to take up our cross daily, and to live out a commitment to him above all other influences. And that's hard. And ultimately, however, when you are following Jesus, your life is changed forever. And following him will reshape your priorities and your actions and your very identity. We are no longer of this world. We're passing through. And we can't wait to get to heaven. But until then, our walk with Jesus carries on. And our walk with the Lord begins, yes, at salvation. And it continues throughout our earthly lifetime and into eternity. That's why really every day with Jesus is truly an adventure, isn't it? It really is. There's no greater life than to follow Jesus and to walk by faith. And we get to follow Jesus. You know that? Every day you get to follow Jesus. Isn't that exciting? Just think about that for a moment. And now all through scriptures, we are told of men and women who did do just that. They repented of their sins. They put their faith in God. Their lives were never the same again. They trusted in the Lord. They obeyed his word, and because of it, they were blessed. And we see that today in our passage in two wonderful followers of Christ, Peter and Tabitha. And they both model for us a life of stepping out in faith and following Jesus. So even before we look at them in more depthly, I want to ask you, are you a Tabitha? Are you a Peter? Is God calling you to be either one of them today in your life, this upcoming week, as we see in their life? Now, in the church office here, where I spent a lot of time, I have a little post-it note that says the mission is that of Jesus himself. It's a little post-it note. And it's there because often I can become sidetracked and distracted, and I forget the purpose of my life in ministry. Do you ever have that? Do you ever have those moments? And sometimes God sends people in your life that are a great voice from the Lord that says, you're over here and you need to be over here. And that's what that post-it note's all about. It's a reminder. It's a reminder to me as a pastor, as a father, as a husband, as a follower of Christ, that this life is not about what I want. It's about doing God's will. And when Jesus said, follow me, it wasn't meant to be on my terms or when it's comfortable for me, when it feels right. Right? That's not how it works. When Jesus says, follow me, you give up all of that and you follow him. And oftentimes it's into the unknown. It's like a blank piece of paper. And at the end, the very bottom, you have to sign your name, because that's your dedication to living by faith and not by sight. And so following Christ is no longer about my life. And this little post-it note just helps me as I pray and think through just what's happening in our church and what ministries we're doing and where God is opening doors and closing doors. But the point of it is to remember that it's about following Christ. Billy Graham once said, when we come to Christ, we're no longer the most important person in the world to us. Christ is. Instead of living only for ourselves, we have a higher goal, and that is to live for Jesus. Whether that's in Campbellford or PEI, whether that's out west, out east, north or south, that's what we're striving towards. And that little note reminds me that living for Jesus, living a life that is true, striving to please him and all that I do, that's our calling as believers in Jesus Christ, if that is what you are here today. But that note reflects why we're here, the purpose of the Christian life, and that through it all, God is glorified. Now, right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he explains to his disciples why he's not taking them with him. He says in Acts verse 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so Jesus here expects that his followers will devote themselves to that mission and make that mission, this mission here, the singular focus of your life, your purpose, every day. And whether that is being a witness of Christ at work, in front of your kids, in front of your wife or husband, in front of your neighbor or the grocery cashier, this is what it means to be a follower of Christ, a witness of him, showing the world who Jesus is through our words and our actions. God calls us to be just as devoted to that mission as the Christians we read about in the book of Acts, two of which we will meet shortly. I love reading the book of Acts because Acts is full of action in many ways, how the Spirit of God works through believers that are open and faithful to the Lord. And we see throughout the book of Acts and since then how the church is moving forward and God is revealing his greatness and getting the world's attention. And God is getting the world's attention today, that's for sure. And God wants to use your life as well to get the world's attention. And God is getting the world's attention through believers like Peter and Tabitha in our passage today, who were two individuals full of the Holy Spirit who step out in faith and trust and obey God. They truly were faithful to the mission of Acts 1, verse 8, of being witnesses for Christ. And we see what being a faithful witness of Christ involves. What does it involve? As I've said before, being a faithful witness of Christ involves both showing the power of God and sharing the gospel of God. a great time to share. And what to share about is this right here. This past week, how did God use you to show the power of God? How did God use you to share his word, his gospel? Can we share about that throughout the week? That'd be great if we can keep that up. How is God working in your life supernaturally so that when people see what's happening in your life, they're like, how is that even possible? And you say, it's because of the Lord. This is what he's doing. I can't explain it. That's why it's supernatural, but it's of God, and God is good and great. Now, let's start with Tabitha, because we see how the Lord worked powerfully in her life, in her community. Tabitha is really one of those unsung heroes of the faith. We don't really learn much about her in the New Testament. And really, the church needs more Tabithas. And what do we learn about her? Well, look at verse 36 in your text. We learn from Luke, who writes the book of Acts, that in verse 36, Luke introduces Tabitha by calling her a disciple. The first thing we learn about her is what? She's a follower of Jesus. Tabitha was a disciple of Christ, the only woman actually in the New Testament to be explicitly given this description. Did you know that? The only woman. Now, the word disciple means learner or pupil, but while there were other women who followed Jesus and loved the Lord and followed him, like Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet, Martha, only Tabitha is named as a disciple of Christ. And this is the first thing that we know and learn about this woman from Luke. She was a woman who followed Jesus' teachings about how to treat others. Luke goes on to say that she was always doing good and helping the poor. So she's a disciple of Christ who is helping those in need. Look at verse 39, because this is where we learn the practical thing that she did. So later in this passage, when we learn that she had passed away, the people that were standing around her and grieving her loss, they showed Peter their robes and other clothing that Dorcas, Tabitha, same person, had made while she was still with them. So that gives us a little bit of a revelation of the type of work that Tabitha did to help her community, to encourage those around her. Here we learn that she was a seamstress. She made clothes for people. She would have sewn together robes or tunics, cloaks, to those that were in need of them. Perhaps a youth who was cold. Perhaps a family was in need of a robe. Well, guess who would help? Tabitha. This is what she did as a follower of Christ, having an impact on others around her. And perhaps you've been blessed by people like Tabitha who either knitted for you or put something together for you, a type of clothing that you wear to this day, and you're blessed by it. There's a song that goes, Shamgar had an ox goad, David had a sling, Samson had a jawbone, Rahab had a string, Mary had some anointment, Aaron had a rod, Tabitha had a needle, all were used of God. That's nice, eh? So this is what we learn about Tabitha and her life as a believer in Jesus Christ back then. God used her as a servant. And if we're going to honor the Lord in our lives, we must follow Jesus as Tabitha did. And that's what a disciple does, and as Tabitha exemplified, learn from the Lord. That should be the priority of your life every day, learning from the Lord. If we're going to honor the Lord in our lives, we must follow him. And that's what a disciple does. In addition, we must love and serve people in practical ways. And so I'm struck by Luke's description that Tabitha was always doing good and helping the poor. And you can tell if our religion is true by how we treat the needy and the defenseless in our own society. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 25, verses 35 to 36. Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. How about this? I needed clothes and you clothed me." There's Tabitha. "I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And so in Jesus' words, we learn how needs are an opportunity to be a blessing to others, to be a witness of Christ, but also needs are an opportunity to watch how God will provide in miraculous ways to help those whatever that need might be. Tabitha loved people in practical ways, and I believe that, you know, very little we know of her life, but she became aware of people in need, and she did something about it. There's a very practical lesson there for us as followers of Christ today. Let us do the same, doing good and helping the poor. But then as we read on in our text, tragedy struck this community of faith because their dearly beloved Tabitha passed away. In verse 37, we learn that we don't know why she got sick and what she became sick with, but she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. And this was done back then, you know, the washing and the preparing of a body for burial. So this is the state that she's in at the end of verse 7. And in verse 8, what we learn next is that Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Interesting that there's this call for Peter. There's this awareness that this man named Peter is nearby. Why? How did this come about? Well, earlier in this passage, and that's in verse 32, we learn of this incredible other miracle that happens that Peter is at the center of. God uses Peter to heal a man who was a paralytic. And this man, his life was changed, and I'm sure after this miracle, and his name was Aeneas, he's healed, and the word of the Lord gets around, and people are saved because of this miracle. So I'm sure after Tabitha passes away, some followers of Christ were like, there's Peter. We've heard that Peter is in the vicinity. Call him over. And so that's what they do. The next part of this passage is they get Peter to be with them. And again, Peter has been used by God already in amazing ways through the book of Acts. And word gets out that Peter is nearby and the disciples go to get him. But again, why did they call Peter? Perhaps they wanted some pastoral care as they are grieving the loss of Tabitha, but perhaps they hoped for something more. There was an expectation that perhaps that God could intervene and do something. So as our text goes on in verse 39, we learn that Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Interesting now, as we kind of think about this verse, Peter arrives at Tabitha's home. And of course, the home is filled with people that are grieving and mourning her passing. Again, death is always difficult. And when we lose a loved one, of course, we are just in such deep sorrow. We no longer get to see them again. And so this is what Peter arrives to see. All these people that are grieving the loss of Tabitha. It says the widows were crying and showing Peter all the robes and the clothing Tabitha had sewn for them. Isn't that interesting, right? This is how they were sharing their memories of Tabitha, their love for her after her passing. So clearly we learn Tabitha was loved in this community and had given herself consistently to all. What a servant, specifically to the least of them. Because we learned that some in that group were widows, people that had perhaps didn't have the means to buy cloaks or robes. And so Tabitha was in that place to serve and bless them with what she had made, her generosity of spirit and her giving. So they showed Peter the robes that she had made. And again, this wasn't about fashion. This was a reflection. This was a reflection of how God had used this woman to bless their lives. And just visualize this scene with me. Here are the widows wearing the clothing that Tabitha had made for them. And they're pouring their heart out to Peter, this man of God whom they have heard was part of a healing. And they're saying, look, Peter, look what she made for us. Look at this robe. Look at this tunic that Tabitha had made. I was cold one winter night and had no money to buy clothing. And when I heard a knock at my door, it was Tabitha. And she had this new robe for us. She handed me this tunic. She gave me this cloak. And she sat and she visited with me. She helped me get through the loss of my husband, or the loss of my child or my wife. This was Tabitha, who really cared about people and showed it. And I want to pause here. Just there's such an important lesson here that we learn, and that is each of us has been given abilities and skills and passions that God wants to use in our life for you to be a blessing to those around you. And so I hope you today appreciate the potential in what the Lord has entrusted you. He has called you to be a good and godly steward of all that he has given to you and the gifts and passions that he has given to you to serve others. So what are you doing with your life to serve the Lord and impact others? Can you sew? I can. So sewing won't be what I do. But can you fix cars? Can you cook a meal? Can you clean a guest room for a visitor? Can you drive people around? Do you know how to raise a garden? Do you know how to balance a checkbook? How about live by a budget? I could go on. How has God gifted you? What are you good at? God blesses each one of us with gifts and abilities and passions so that we can serve others and advance his kingdom. And when he allows us to become aware of a need, what an opportunity then to just be used by God to help that family, that church, that neighborhood. Where is God calling you today? Everything we have has come from him. Did you hear me? Everything that we have has come from him. And we're not taking anything with us when we get through this life. So we need to be good stewards of everything that God has given to us. And I mean everything. Your house, your education, your vocational experience, your tools, your guest room. You have it because God entrusted it to you. Now in verses 40 to 41, we learn how Peter steps out into faith and trusts in God. We have learned already about Tabitha, who was a woman who stepped out in faith and followed Jesus and was a blessing to her community with her gifts. But here we have Peter, probably the first time he was facing a dead body and had to pray. When Peter was with Tabitha's dead body, he asked for everyone to leave the room and then he prayed. And in that moment, he recalled Jesus. And what Jesus prayed when Jairus' daughter back in the Gospels was dead, and really, if you compare both of those stories, it's almost very similar in the words that were spoken. Jesus prayed. Jesus told Jairus' daughter to rise up. And here, Peter does the same. He prays. He kneels on the ground. And we don't know what he prayed, but he seems to have practiced what Jesus had preached. Jesus had healed the sick and raised people from the dead. Jesus had listened to Jesus' teaching carefully, because he had seen Jesus heal people, he knew how to pray as a man of faith. And that's what a follower of Jesus does. They do as Jesus did. And here he prays, he speaks those words to Tabitha, and the text tells us she comes back to life. Verse 40, turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. She sat up. When we pray, when we pray, we call upon the name of Jesus to hear our prayer. And the Lord, he is always listening. He is always listening to our prayers. And it doesn't matter whether we pray out loud or silently, God hears us. And what an incredible miracle before Peter. God used Peter in this moment to demonstrate again that God is all-powerful and that he can bring life out of death. It was a hopeless situation. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. And she's brought back to life. Peter was just following Jesus. And God used him in a powerful way. And God wants to use you in a powerful way as well. To advance his kingdom. To perhaps bring healing to somebody. To lift up the name of Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. So that God is given all the glory for the great things that he is doing. You know, three things happened as a result of this miracle. As you look at the end of this text, you notice with me three things that happened as a result of this miracle. The church was encouraged, I'd say. Can you just see the faces of all those grieving people at Tabitha's house when she walks down and sees them all? There she is smiling, and they're all like, wow, giving praise to God is what they're doing. She's alive. We also learn that not only was the church encouraged, but many lost people were saved that day. In Joppa, many believed in the Lord. As we see in verses 42 to 43, this became known all over Joppa. Of course it would. It would in any town. If God raised somebody back from the dead, even in Campbellford, the news would get to Havelock, Hastings. People would want to know what's going on. And we would tell them, who is going on? Jesus. And so she is alive, and many people believed because of this miracle. And so often in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, God demonstrates his power after or just before the gospel message is proclaimed. That's the key. That's the center of it all. And people believe in the message and turn their lives over to God. But lastly, not only was the church encouraged and many people believed in the Lord Jesus Christ that day for the first time, but Tabitha received more opportunity to serve the Lord, when you think about it that way. Now, I don't know why God returned Tabitha, because we learn, for instance, in the book of Acts that Stephen lost his life. He wasn't returned. There are many that probably in that same community were raised back from the dead, but we don't know why. But maybe God gave her an extension on life just to show us how much he thinks of those who serve behind the scenes. This I know, by returning Tabitha to life, she got to do more of what she loved to do, and that was to serve. And that was to make an impact on her community for Christ, to follow Jesus and bless those around her. Tabitha models for us in our passage today a life of practical Christianity and living by faith. That's very clear. We see that in her testimony. And how about in Peter? Well, Peter shows us a life willing to be used by the power of God. When Peter went to the home of Tabitha and saw her in that state that she was, what does he do? Well, he steps out in faith and he prays. And so each of us, as I close, can be used to make a difference in the lives of others, even with people or in situations we might not expect. But it starts with following Jesus. And if you have come to know Jesus as your Savior and Lord today, your life is no longer your own. You are living for him, living a life that is true. Let me close with these words from Paul in the book of Ephesians. Now to him, and that is our Lord, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks again to you, O Lord, for the ministry of your word. Lord, would you help us by your Spirit to once again just understand this reading today of your word. Lord, the spiritual truth, the reminders that are just come out of this passage, Lord, help us, we pray, to remember all that you're teaching us through it about who you are, what you can do, and that, Lord, we would be faithful in following you and stepping out in faith each and every day to go where you are calling us, and to remember that, God, you are God who supplies for all of our needs. Lord, forgive us when we've doubted. Forgive us, Lord, when we have, instead of kneeling down and praying, have just gone off to try and figure it out on our own. God, we can't do that. We need you. We need each other, praying for one another and encouraging one another as we face the struggles ahead of us. But Lord, again, we thank you today for Tabitha and Peter. They're examples for us in the Bible of what it means to be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.